understanding the principles removes your excuse for procrastination. It removes your excuse from taking action in the realm of sales, right? It removed my excuse. So I'm in sales in a way in my business. And what I found was for a couple of years, it wasn't that I was confident or fearless, not at all. It might have looked that way. What it was actually was going on was I had no excuses. I lost my excuses to not do things that looked scary or uncomfortable. That applies to more than sales, but I'm just using it in the example of sales.
Välkommen till podden Human Change med Daniel Magnusson. Fastnar du ofta i tankar kring oro, stress och irritation? Tror du att allt beror på att det är fel på dig? Då vill jag välkomna dig till podden som guidar dig till förståelse om hur vi människor fungerar egentligen. Genom denna förståelse kan vi leva ett liv fullt av kärlek och harmoni. Ditt ljus och hopp när allt verkar mörkt och hopplöst. Lyssna och njut.
Du lyssnar på Human Change med mig, Daniel Magnusson. And today it is an English episode, so I will switch to English because my guest today is Ankush Jain. And Ankush is an author and coach. And I stumbled on his appearance in a podcast called New Paradigm Podcast, who is a Norwegian podcast from 2018, who is done by Morten Hake. And that was actually the first time I heard about Ankush. And then I have seen him and listened to him on a couple of other podcasts. And I think he has a easy way of presenting the three principles, and also I liked the podcast name of the new paradigm. Everybody doesn't have their shit together, or something like that. I was like,
no one has their shit together.
Yeah, and I really like that one. So we're welcome, Ankush.
Thank you for having me here, Daniel.
So how long have you been in the three principles and coaching? Because you're coming from another background, then you haven't always been a coach, I guess, right?
No, I worked for many years in corporate procurement. So I worked for a very large construction company where I was in charge of buying everything from explosives
okay.
to earth moving equipment to protective workwear. I bought covert investigations that we did to check for fraud. I used to buy a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And then just after that, whilst I started my coaching, I worked for a big oil and gas major, buying their financial services stuff. So I had a bit of a career in procurement, which is what I thought I would be spending my time doing. But I was always interested in personal development for over a decade. And one day I had a eureka moment when I was cooking, because I'd been thinking about changing careers or moving countries or doing something. I'd hit 30 and I thought, well, time to reevaluate, because life hadn't quite gone as I had planned. I planned to be married with two kids or whatever, and that hadn't happened. And it suddenly occurred to me, why don't you get into coaching? Because I love personal development. And it's one of those things when you think about it, it's like, why hadn't I thought about that before? And about 10 days after I had that thought, I was sitting in a module, a year-long training program that I'd paid thousands of pounds for in 2012. That was the start of my coaching career.
Mm. So it was really quick from that thought to actually taking action then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You started be a coach and started coaching, and now you're also coaching coaches and training coaches, or what is the purpose of that, would you say?
Well it's funny, because I had no desire to coach coaches when I started out. I work a lot with men, so some of my work is working with men in my own way. So those people who might know the three principles, that informs a lot of my work. And I do what we might call men's work, but from that paradigm, which is very different traditional men's work. And I've been doing that for many years, and it's quite successful. It works quite well. And that was the work I always wanted to do. But what I found a few years into my coaching journey, a lot of people, I was struggling to turn it into a full-time gig as quickly as I thought, because I was really determined and putting a lot of energy and focus into what I was doing and being a good student. But I was struggling, and I noticed that a lot of people around me were struggling too. And so I hired a coach, a chap called Steve Chandler, who was nicknamed the Godfather of coaching and had a very good track record for coaching coaches, but had also worked in corporate and coached in corporate and had a lot of non-coaching clients. And about a year later, I was getting frustrated telling him how, no one was sharing what he was sharing with me and how coaches were really struggling. And he said, "So why don't you coach coaches?" And I said, "No, I'm not. I didn't do that. Like, no, not for me." And he went, "Well, could you help coaches?" And I said, "Yeah, I could help them a lot, given what I'd been learning from this guy for a year at that stage." And he said, "Do coaches want help?" And I said, "Yeah, they seem to me to want a lot of help." And he said, "So what's your problem?" And I kind of had no real answer to that. And so in 2015, some of my business was then started to work with coaches, and that's really, really grown over the years, which I really enjoy. It's interesting because it's all connected. When I work with coaches, I'm doing a lot of personal coaching, and when I coach someone who isn't a coach, a lot of the stuff that I do with coaches informs that work as well. So it kind of all blends into one.
Hmm. So the first coaching training you did take, was that a three principle coaching or training?
Yeah, I stumbled across what's called the three principles. So I knew a guy called Jamie Smart through the personal development world, and people that I had hired knew him. He'd been their client. So we had hired the same mentors, over the years. And little did I know, Jamie had come across the three principles a couple of years, prior to me working with him. But I did know he worked with coaches. So when I had this insight, this eureka moment about, oh, maybe I should coach, I was like, well, let me talk to that Jamie guy, because he seems to know about coaching and he coaches coaches. And I got a good, real good feeling from him. And so I enrolled in his program thinking it was a coach training, but it was more of a deep dive into the principles and sharing the principles training. It really changed my life in very, very positive ways. It was funny. I was telling Jamie, I have no desire for any more personal development. I've been doing it for 10 years. I think I'm pretty good. And he must have chuckled internally, because then I come across the program, and within like a month, my whole life is turned upside down.
Mm. So, because I know his story a little bit. He came from the NLP training in that niche, I would say. He just more or less like, yeah, when he stumbled on the three principles, that like, I cannot go on with this. I need to change, because I'm coming from the same perspective. I've been an ICF coach and having that kind of thing. And now I'm just doing three principles coaching. And how would you explain if somebody asks you, so that, okay, three principles, what is that? How would you explain for someone who's new to it?
Well, it's funny, because I wrote a book a few years ago, and there are a number of books out that talk about the three principles. And I was like, well, what am I going to write? Because there are other people who are better explaining what the three principles are. So I'm getting to your question. And what I realized is that there are certain implications of the principles that are really profound that people don't realize. So my book is called Sweet Sharing, Rediscovering the Real You, but it could easily have been called Implications of the Three Principles Understanding.
Mm.
And one of the central kind of tenets or teachings is that our felt experience of life is a reflection of our thinking moment to moment, as opposed to a reflection of what's happening outside of us, our circumstances. And by thinking, it's not just the thoughts we're aware of, but it's all mental activity. If we kind of use thinking as a little bit broader term than we might use of all mental activity, that's what we're feeling moment to moment. That can seem pretty innocuous. That can seem pretty like, well, okay, so what? I'm just feeling my thinking. But there are a lot of implications of that very simple statement. And they had huge, you know, it had huge implications for me. And so my book, I try and give dozens of examples around, like I had an insight around forgiveness where I was telling my mentor, Dr. Keith Blevins, hey, I'm finding myself forgiving people a lot more now that I've come across this work. And he said, well, why do you need to forgive anyone? And I was like, huh? And he's like, well, why would you need to forgive anyone? You'd only need to forgive someone if they had be, if they're able to harm you. But if you're feeling, you know, this principle of thought, and that's a moment-to-moment thing, if you're feeling, you're thinking moment-to-moment, well, then someone says something to you, oh, you're a so-and-so. It's not that they say that you get hurt and now you're going to take the hurt and forgive it. No, they never were able to hurt you in the first place. It was your thinking that was reflected as hurt. So they're kind of irrelevant. You know, you don't need to forgive them. That took a huge thing off my mind. Like, wow. Right? Mm. And like I talk about racism, you know, and I it's so funny to me because I had worldviews that probably pretty common. So again, I don't know what it's like in Europe, but in the UK, there's a lot of kind of push on anti-racism that has been for years. And I think most people would say it's had very limited success. And so I used to be someone who was like, well, if someone says certain words to me that are racist, that causes me to feel really angry and upset. And anyone who's not a colored skin tone, hasn't got a different skin tone, cannot understand what it's like. You know, if you're white, there's no way you can understand what it's been, what it's like to be called a certain racist slur. Right. And I just had that belief. Right. And certain were like, so I would see, and it's not even a white thing. Like I remember Eric Cantona doing a karate kick into the audience when he was at Manchester United because someone did a Nazi salute at him. And, you know, it was racist. And so he got in trouble for it and whatever. And I remember thinking, oh, but I totally get it. Like, no, anyone that hasn't suffered racism cannot understand what Eric Cantona has going through, whatever. And I reflected on this from a principal's perspective, and I realized words can't offend me anymore. Like, I can feel offense, I can have some thinking around it, but it just has so much less power over me, and I'm giving less power to anyone that's racist. And by the way, you can extrapolate this out into a business context, right? Mm. It's funny. My book was never written as a business book, and it gets shared. There's a few colleagues of mine who work predominantly with corporate people, and they share my book. It's one of their favorite books to share on the principles, because it's not a business book. It's just a book about life, and it has implications. So I'm talking about someone being racist, but you might have fill in the blank. When my boss or manager or colleague or someone says certain things, that makes me feel red, that makes me upset, that makes me feel undermined. Well, no, it doesn't. It's your thinking about that. And that's not about victim shaming or blaming. It's actually very empowering, right? And that doesn't mean you need to stay in any situation. You might hand your notice and you might move teams. You might decide, I don't want to work with someone like this. But you're not giving someone else the power to make you feel something. And it's not something that you're creating. It's actually seeing how it really works. This isn't a case of me having a belief system that racists can offend me, and now I've got a new belief system that racists can't offend me. It's that racists could never offend me. I am so powerful, I created the illusion they could offend me by saying certain words. But they can't. And I realize that if more people understood this, whether it's in sport, people are trying to tackle racism, or whether it's in business, trying to improve relationships, whether it's in marriages, right? Oh, when my wife says this, when my husband says that, when my partner says this, if we really understood that, and I'm seeing this more and more myself every day, it's a game changer, right? But because we don't think this, we, and I include myself in this, live in a world where it looks like we are perceiving reality. It's an objective reality, and certain things in that objective reality can cause feelings in us, in our experience. And so we have to manage everything. That's a lot of hard work. It puts a lot of thinking on our mind, and there's already too much to do, right?
Yeah. Sure.
So you take that off your mind, you take that needing to manage that off your mind, and it frees us up to have better relationships, gets us to be more productive in the workplace. I mean, it's just a huge, huge thing. So I don't know if that's me. I kind of answered in a roundabout way what are the three principles, but I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. That it's coming more and more clear for me also, the what you mentioned, that to see that nothing can actually hurt us or harm us or in any way. And I had a question during a coaching session today actually about that. Yeah, what about psychological harassment or psychological violence? So we went into it and I explained it not as clear as you did, but in the same direction that, and as I say, we are the spiritual energy in us, in our body that can never be hurt. It can never be damaged, but we can believe and feel it. And when we do that, it's going to be really, really hard for us to see that we can't get hurt. But the more we see that is true, that we are this spiritual energy, it's more and more easy for us to actually see that it's nothing is hurting us.
Right.
And that leads us in a little bit to what I was thinking, like, because many people are like, yeah, okay, so I start to understand, and usually that's one thing that's a tell that someone is struggling like a little bit, I guess, because I can see how I was struggling in the beginning of this. It's like, yeah, I understand that we are feeling our thinking, but how can that be good in life? What is that? How is it useful to know in life or in business?
So let me talk about sales, right? Because this is a real practical example.
Yeah, and everybody's selling, always.
Right? That's true, right?
yeah, but, like selling in someone to actually taking out the dishes,
right? So if you look at sales, right, a lot of in say the corporate world, a lot of people who's like, there's two things with sales, right? One is people are reluctant to go and maybe have conversations and sell and, you know, get into uncomfortable situations. If you see the really best salespeople, you know, they seem fearless, right? They seem to be able to go and talk to anyone and ask anything. And even if someone's upset or angry or a difficult customer, they won't shrink back from talking to that person. They'll go out. Well, if you know that your experience is generated via your thinking and it's not coming from any of these people, it removes the excuse that you might have for yourself of, oh, I can't do that. I can't go and talk to them. I can't go and approach that person. Right. And so what we have, like the worst salespeople are the ones that procrastinate all day and do stuff that isn't having conversations with potential customers. Right. Well, the principles or understanding the principles removes your excuse for procrastination. It removes your excuse from taking action in the realm of sales, right? It removed my excuse. So I'm in sales in a way in my business. And what I found was for a couple of years, it wasn't that I was confident or fearless, not at all. It might have looked that way. What it was actually was going on was I had no excuses. I lost my excuses to not do things that look scary or uncomfortable. That applies to more than sales, but I'm just using it in the example of sales. Right? So that's the first thing. The second thing, sales is all about relationship. And I teach this when I work with coaches, but it's true in any kind of sales, job or career. It's about relationships. If you can have good relationships with people, you're going to be a better salesperson. Now, I used to think, well, certain people have got a gift. They just get on with people. They're good salespeople. And I'm not like that. You know, I can't do small talk. I can't talk about things. I stumble on my words. But with the principles, you know, like you say, with these kind of spiritual entities. So, well, how does that help with sales? Well, it does. Because I realize that I'm this spiritual entity. Another way to say it is, there is a you before your thinking, right? So let me put in more less spiritual language. There is an awareness. There is something that is having the thoughts that you are having right now, right? So there's that constant. You might call it awareness or consciousness or, you know, whatever, right? Well, that's in you. And then that thing is having this thinking. Well, that's the same in everyone else. So there's something completely common with you and every single other person on this planet, right? Whereas before, I used to live in a world where I'm me, as in not that awareness. I'm the layers on top of that of all this thinking and insecurity and beliefs and whatever. And then there's someone else and they're on this hierarchy up and down. They're higher than me. They're lower than me, right? And I didn't see they are not their body. They are not their job. They are that same awareness. They're that same intelligence or whatever, that constant before their thinking. And so when you sink into that realization, when you really are open to that realization, like this is the first time you and I have ever spoken. We've never spoken before. You've got a little bit of an advantage over me in that you've heard some of my interviews. But we don't really know each other. But I can get onto this call and feel very connected to you as I can with anyone, because there's that constant that is true of both of us. And it helps with relationship because it makes – so I was a terrible listener. But if I have that awareness that, well, I've got my thinking about Daniel and he'll have his thinking about Daniel and he'll have thinking about me and I'll have my own thinking about me. Well, I don't need to trust the first thoughts that come up. So I'm more likely to get into curiosity. I'm more likely to get into listening. Even though these things weren't maybe my strong suit, and that builds better relationships. Right. I also, when we are aware of this understanding, we drop a lot of misunderstanding. I call them misunderstandings. We drop a lot of beliefs and ideas that we were held on to, like I was talking about racism, like I had this thing. And so that was a big weight. It was like I was carrying all this thinking around racism. And then I was carrying this other thinking around, you know, some other insecurity, and then this other thinking here, and then this other insecurity, you know, and I'm carrying all these thoughts around metaphorically. And through this work, they start falling away because they no longer make sense. I can see the untruth, right? I can see the falsehood of those things. So as those fall away, I have less on my mind. And when I have less on my mind, I'm able to listen better. I'm able to be curious. So when I'm able to build better relationships with someone and feel connected, I mean, so many times I'll speak to someone and it's not because I'm a coach. That just happens to be what I'm doing. But I mean, literally, when I'm in work or when I'm outside of work, I can now have a conversation with someone. And because I'm not paying as much attention to the little voice of going, they don't like you. Oh, I bet they're judging you. You shouldn't have worn that shirt today or whatever, right? We all have this. Because I just don't pay as much attention to that. Okay, all right. You're just going to let that thought come and go. Then I'm able to connect way deeper, way, way, way deeper with people. Much, much quicker. Whereas before, I would get in the way of relationship because of the thinking I was having that I was taking seriously. And this isn't true just for me or for you or anyone. If you see children, like I've got a son, he's 2.5. And yes, some kids still have personalities at that age, but they're able to connect. We went to a party yesterday and there's another toddler there and they're just rolling around on this bouncing castle and getting on and having a great time, right?
Mm.
They're not as much in their thinking as you and I are. So you take that energy and put it into a salesperson, right? They're going to build relationships left, right, and center, which is only going to make them more successful. And there's so many examples of that, because we could say the same thing about creativity, right? We are all creative. What gets in the way is the thinking we have that, you know, judges that I'm no good or this or that. What are people going to think? When you put that into any profession and you remove the blocks to creativity, wow, amazing. Right? We talked about procrastination. This gets in the, you know, it stops us procrastinating the more we see this, because there's no longer excuses not to do X, Y, or Z. Well, imagine going into a workforce and saying, hey, we're going to cut down procrastination by even half. Right? Imagine what that does for the business. So there are many, many, all for the marriage, right? There's that old saying, you know, my wife tells me to do stuff. You know, I tell her, if I say I'm going to do something, I'll do it. You don't need to remind me every 6 months about it, right? And that's a funny joke, right? Because a lot of men can relate to it, but it takes that away too, right? Because joking aside, what we don't do something that we say we're going to do because if I do that, I'm going to feel uncomfortable. I'm going to feel bad. I'm going to feel bored. So we put stuff off. Well, it gets rid of that too. Is this making sense?
Yeah. When you started talking about the essence, the entity, or as you say, instead of saying spiritual, you said, I don't even remember what you said, but I was like getting goosebumps and almost tearing in my eyes. It was like, wow, I think I did see something even deeper in that. So I was like, yeah, okay, we're done today. Thank you. Yeah, that was so valuable for me. I think and I believe also for people who's listening to this too, because it's so true. Because the only thing we are fearing is our thinking. But we believe that we fear X, Y, Z, and so on. But it's not that.
It never is. And I'll say something, Daniel. I forget this all the time.
Yeah.
Right? I've been doing this for 10 years. And I'm constantly seeing more, right? I'm guessing my neighbor will never hear this, so I'll tell this story, right? We moved into a new house about 6 months ago. And a few months ago, I had a disagreement with the neighbor over something that's not really that important. And it was really a small issue, but I got really upset about it. I was like, why is this guy being like this? And I started creating all these stories and ideas about this person, forgetting exactly what I just told you. The great thing about the principles for me is that I can lose sight of this, but it always steers me back. Because at a certain point, when I'm going way off, like judging someone or getting upset, whatever, at a certain point, what I know kicks in going, is that really true? And so what happened was recently, we were doing some work, having some tree cut in our garden, and my neighbor's there. And so I go over to him and I just start talking to him totally normally. Hey, and I come over, have a look, look at what we're doing. And I'm able to kind of reset, rather than the old me would have gone, oh, now I've judged this guy, I've put him in a bucket, he's an XYZ. And so now I'm going to have like this relationship with him, which is always like frosty and difficult. But that can be reset at any moment with anyone, right? Which is super, super, super helpful. Super helpful. So on one hand, I don't want to say, all right, this is it. Like, right, you've got this, boom, bye. Because in reality, I don't know anyone who's been introduced to this who overnight goes, okay, yeah, now I'm seeing the spiritual truth of every single person and I'm loving every single person. I never get insecure. I never get judgmental, right? That doesn't happen. So I don't want people to get the false impression around that. And that doesn't take away from how powerful this is. To me, this is a North Star or like a sat nav that is always, no matter how lost you get, it's going to bring you back home.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. And especially when it's very easy, at least for me, to like help other people see their blind spots, because I can see the blind spot because they can't see it because it's their blind spots. But very hard for ourselves and for me in this case to see those blind spots. And it felt like when you did talk before, I did see something more actually on my own blind spots. So I'm very grateful for that. Really grateful. Because I had a conversation with a friend last autumn, and he was like, yeah, well, I'm quite afraid for horses. So I'm glad our girls never started riding horses. And I was like, well, you're not afraid of horses. Yes, I am. No, you're not. And I was challenging him because it was so easy for me to talk about his fear or phobia when I'm standing on the sideline and pointing and, but as you say, it never is a fear from something outside. It's always from our thinking or the fear of what we are thinking.
You know, some people think that this understanding lacks empathy. And I believe that when we understand this, it has the opposite effect. So when you talk about that, I see places in my life where I have fear. I have fear for my son's safety. I don't particularly like spiders. I have, you know, all sorts of things, right? And I know it's my thinking, which has really helped me. So we live in an area which is like filled with spiders, right? And so I don't particularly like them, but I'm able to deal with them and take them out when I need to and, you know, whatever else. And, you know, I have fear for my son's safety, let's say, but then I'm able to not be an overbearing parent and let him do what he needs to do. But then it gives me empathy for other people, because when I see other people who have a fear or a struggle or whatever, it's like, yeah, me too. So when I started out, and I know a lot of people do this, they will go up to people and go, hey, you're just feeling, you're thinking. And, you know, when someone says that to me, sometimes I just want to punch them in the face, right? Because it's not very helpful. Obviously, I don't punch them in the face. But it reminds me that, like, and now, to be honest, when someone says that to me, I have real empathy for them. I don't want to punch them in the face because they're just doing the best they can in that situation. But so is everyone. And I find that, again, this comes back to relationship. When I have more empathy for someone, I have more ability to influence them in a positive way. and build that relationship.
Mm.
So, you know, I said something the other day that, you know, the more challenging a conversation you need to have with someone, the greater the rapport you need to have. Rapport is the currency that we pay in order to have a challenging conversation go well, right? Mm,
mm.
So yeah. If I have no rapport with you, Daniel, and let's say I'm your boss at work and I need to tell you something that, like, hey, your performance is no good, blah, blah, blah. If we've got no rapport, that's going to go over pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if we build up a good rapport, which is really helpful when we see the things that we talked about earlier, when I see that you and I are the same on the level of spirit, on the level of awareness, on the level of who we really are, on the level of our being. If I see that, then obviously we're going to have much more rapport because I'm not going to personalize everything that's going on.
Mm.
Then I can say things to you that you can hear that no one else can. And I've done that. I have people, like, if I told you some of the things I say to my clients, some people would be horrified, right? But, and I'm genuinely very loving and very kind, but there are times when I can be very direct. But it always lands well, so I'm told, right? Mm. It seems to land very well with people because the place that it's coming from is of service to the other person. But more than that, I've built that relationship with them. I've got that understanding with them, and I build an awareness and empathy around, you know, when's the right time to say something or not,
mm.
right? You know, if someone's lost a loved one, you know, I'm not, you know, it would show a complete lack of understanding the principles to go, hey, you're feeling sad right now, but that's just your thinking,
mm.
right? It is their thinking. It's always true that it's their thinking. And that would be one of the most unhelpful things to say to that person in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And as you said before, it's not helpful actually anytime. More of a maybe taking it to the other direction, actually making us more distant in the connection and just creating more frustration. It's like, yeah, well, don't think like that. Just go ahead and let it go. I mean, it's really hard to do that because in that moment, we don't want to do anything else than thinking about something else, or when we're feeling really stuck and feeling full of emotion that is not pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I what been coming more and more to me in this understanding is, I don't know, seeing more of the essence who we are, the formless, the spiritual, is way more, as I see it, helpful to see that more and more than just like, oh, we're feeling our thinking.
Mm.
And because then we come back to what you mentioned before, like then we can really see and understand, see is a good word maybe, that we are untouchable. We're always safe. And also being more and more understanding of other people's challenges, and more like, yeah, as you say, yeah, me too, because we don't see it always, we right. miss it, yeah. Yeah. So I think we could like round it up. I think it's been a really powerful conversation, as you, I guess you see that. I think you made it really clear how impactful the understanding of the three principles can really be for a person, and as you said, the implications of it.
Yeah, I'm happy to finish it there. I could talk about this stuff for the next 3 hours and beyond.
me too. so easy.
And I would just offer to people, I'd say, you know, thank you to you, Daniel, for producing this, you know, for free for people. You're doing a wonderful service. And, you know, I would say to people that are listening to this, if they resonate with what Daniel's saying or with what I'm saying, you know, to go on and do your own exploration, whatever that might be. There are so many resources. There are when I started looking into this in 2012, there was virtually nothing. You know, there's a handful of books that were available and on a very small number of topics. There's no podcasts out. You know, there was, you know, no websites, or there was very, very, very little out there. And now we live in a world where there's so much stuff available, like this podcast, and it's in any field you want to explore the three principles from a business perspective. There's, you know, there'll be episodes of this podcast. I did a bunch of podcasts on business. There's other people that have done stuff. There's books by Ken Manning and Robin Charbit and Sandy Krop was a great book. Jamie Smart book is relevant to business. My book, people find it. There's all sorts of stuff. And I would say what really brings this to life is your own insight. It's not what Daniel says. It's not what I said. It doesn't matter what the words I've used. These are my words based on my understanding and what's true for me. And I would say to anyone listening to this, don't try and figure out what Daniel's saying or I'm saying. Like, figure out what makes sense to you and explore that for yourself. And, you know, that's going to be your training. That's what's going to be useful. And along the way, you might want to hire a coach, or you might want to do some program, and you might want to do whatever. But even that, you'll be guided by your own instinct and gut and intuition as to how deep you want to go with this and what makes sense to you. So I would just offer that to your listeners.
Yeah. That is so good that you bring that up, because that's what I'm always saying. Like, keep exploring and deepening, and because it's just a matter of time when something clicks. And even if it's clicked before, it can click even more. And we can go, I would say, like, yeah, getting a deeper understanding and see new things. And that is so valuable, and it's a like wow, how couldn't I see this before? It's always been there in front of me, but yeah, good. So Ankush, what would be a good way if somebody would like to come and contact you, and do you have any thing you want to offer to the listeners?
Yeah, so the best way to get hold of me is through my website. So that's ankushjain.co.uk, which is ankushjain .co.uk. And so that's my website. That's the portal where people can get hold of me. I do loads of stuff. I'm running a school for coaches to help them be more prosperous and learn about sales in an ethical way. I run immersion events for men, and I have a whole range of people from all over the world attend that. I got online programs, I got my book, but it's all there on that website. And if anybody's got a question to ask me, they can do so through the contact me page there.
Wow. Good. Thank you very much. And I will put that information into the show notes also, so it's going to be easy for people to click on. Perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, thank you. And Yeah. I'm so impactful today. I'm really grateful for our conversation.
You're most welcome.
Tack för att du har lyssnat på det här avsnittet. Är det så att du uppskattar den här podcasten så får du självklart dela den vidare till dem du tänker kan ha ett behov av att lyssna på den. Det finns också en möjlighet för dig att boka in sig på ett kostnadsfritt coachingsamtal med mig. Det finns inga förbehåll att du måste ha tankar om att bli coachad, utan du kanske har en frågeställning bara så här: det här skulle vara intressant att bolla med Daniel. Så kan jag hjälpa dig på något sätt så gör jag det mer än gärna. Skicka frågan till mig på daniel@humanchange.se. På hemsidan hittar du även videokursen Nyckeln till stressfrihet. Det är en videokurs som jag tillsammans med Danielika Almqvist har skapat. Och det är ett program då för dig som vill ha ett stressfriare liv. Och några vanliga effekter som man kan se efter det här är då minskad stress, oro, frustration och psykisk ohälsa. Ett ökat lugn, välbefinnande, sinnesro med mera. Tack!